Somebody say loud amen. Very, very quickly, we shall continue the second part of our message. Existence at the top. The power of that brutal fighting spirit. This is part two. We saw yesterday, and I wish that the media can help us recap on what, why we need to fight, what the fight is. Why we need to fight. We live in a world of battles and wars, so a fighting spirit is inevitable. So move to number two, because we can't go all the way. Number two, we need to fight in order not to end as victims and casualties of life's battles. Thirdly, we need to fight to both take flight and maintain flight. To both take flight and maintain flight. Number four, we need to fight in order to be and do everything God intends for us to be and to do in our lifetime. Number five, we said that we need to fight to perpetually keep the enemy where he belongs, in his defeated position. Now we are going to look at fighting people in scripture. People who existed at the top and succeeded by the fight. First example will be Isaac. Genesis 26, verse 18 to verse 22. Isaac, the Bible said, and again, Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham, his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the headmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's headmen, saying, "The water is ours." And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitna. And he removed from thence and digged another well. And for that, they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, "For now, the Lord had made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." Isaac engaged the enemy to experience enlargement. Rehoboth means this is our place of enlargement. It is the engagement of the enemy that guarantees a destiny of enlargement. Everyone who dodges engaging the enemy will never be able to see the destiny of enlargement. Example number two, Jacob. Jacob was a fighter. In Genesis chapter 26 and in verse 22, the Bible said, right from the womb of his mother, Genesis chapter 25, 22, and the children struggled together within her. And she said, "If it be so, why am I thus? What problem is this?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, "Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from your bowels.
And the one people shall be stronger than the other. And the elder shall serve the younger. Jacob struggled, began to fight from the womb. There are many of us seated here. Your battle started from the womb. It's not a negative sign. It's a sign that you are a great man tomorrow. There are things surrounding your conception, surrounding your birth, surrounding all those things that just made you know that the devil started battling you from the womb of your mother. Then, when it was time for the children to be born, Genesis 25 and in verse 26, see what happened. Isaac, Jacob was still fighting. And after that came his brother out. And his hand took hold on Esau's heel. And his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. His hand took hold of Esau's heel. In other words, where do you think you are going? That was the fighter Jacob fighting from the womb. When he went to the house of Laban, the fight continued. Genesis 31 and in verse 7. He said, your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God suffered him not to hurt me. He changed my wages. That is, any angle your father turned, I was still winning. If you say the ring straight and the speckle shall be your hire, then all the cattle bear the speckle. If he said those, then the ring straight shall be the hire, then all the cattle bear ring straight. That is, my brothers and sisters, God wants you and me to come to the point where the devil cannot stand you, the devil cannot stop you, and the devil cannot do anything about you. That is, there is nothing the devil does that makes you to lose. There is nothing the devil does that makes you to lose. I announce to somebody by prophetic decree this morning, you are about to weary out the devil. Say a louder amen. Jacob fought. And then he fought this final one. In Genesis 32, verse 24 to verse 28. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him. Until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let you go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. Because as a prince you have power with God and with men, and you have prevailed. Nobody prevails in life without a fight. To finally prevail, to finally be in charge, you need the spirit of a fighter. To finally prevail, to finally take charge, to finally be in command, you need the spirit of a fighter. The devil may look for your trouble, but that is his routine. Goes to and fro. He just goes to and fro. He just goes to and fro. When mercy came to you, he didn't come to defeat you. He only came to fulfill his normal routine. Somebody say loud amen. He's sentenced to going to and fro, from moving up and down in the air. That is his sentence. He just came to fulfill a normal schedule. But if you have the spirit of a fighter, you are destined to permanently triumph.
Somebody just got a revelation. He came to fulfill his normal schedule. He is a loser by profession. So he doesn't mind losing a million times.
And I announced to somebody here today, that loser... Now,
if I stop here, I've already over-preached. He's a loser by profession.
So don't be scared that he came. He came to lose. Don't be scared that he is attempting. He is attempting for loss.
That's good news. He came to lose.
He is on that profession until he is bound and cast into the bottomless pit. He's running because he knows his time is short. His time is short. So he came to fulfill his normal schedule of going up and down, running to and fro, and he just came to lose. How come I thought I am healed of high blood pressure and the blood pressure is trying to come back again? He came to lose.
Somebody shout the loudest amen.
I announced to someone today, the spirit of the fighter, the God who calls himself the mighty man of war, that spirit comes upon you today, and the loser devil will continue to lose in your life.
Look at your neighbor, say congratulations. You've won the battle. Give the Lord the praise as you take your seat. Isaac was a fighter. Jacob was a fighter. Joseph was a fighter. Joseph was such a fighter that he believed in his dreams, even when the dream did not come to pass. Genesis chapter 40 verse 3 to 8. The Bible said, and it came to pass after these things. Right? The butler and the baker, and he put them in the ward in the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. And they continued a season in war. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man in his dream in one night. Each man according to the interpretation of his dream. The butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning, and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray thee. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph, and said to him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me. Long story made short. Does not interpretation belong to God? This was a man who for almost 13 years has had a dream that, I mean, whose interpretation he knew, but that has not come to pass. If it is any of us or most of us, and somebody comes to you and say, I have a dream and I am looking for interpretation, you say, well, go and trust God for the interpretation. Because the devil will remind him that you too have a dream and you have an interpretation. Where is the manifestation? Let me tell you this, and you will never forget it for life. A major department of the fighting spirit is the refusal to shift ground. Is firmness in the front of fire. Is the re-
is the refusal to shift ground. You are not shifting ground. What you believe to be true, what you believe is yours, you are not shifting ground. Like we said, I am not giving up. I am not giving way. I am not giving in. I am not giving out. Somebody say, I'm not giving up. I am not giving in. I am not giving way. I am not giving out. The answer must come. The victory must come. The answer must come. The victory must come. Part of the fighting spirit is the possession of the spirit of tenacity, tenaciousness, pertinacity, indefatigability, weariless tirelessness. The refusal to be wearied out, the refusal to be tired out. Indefatigability, chronic fightability. You have a fightable capacity that is durable. Do you understand what I'm saying? In some people's own has a very short lifespan. Yours is durable. You are in for the long run. Is God speaking to anybody here today? That is, I know what I dreamt. I know the interpretation of it. And if it has not yet come to pass, it must come to pass. So bring me your dreams. Let me interpret it. Boris Cyrulo said, if he prays for 500 people and none got healed, and number 501 comes, you will lay hands on him. That was in the days of the growing up of the administration. I will still lay hand on the next person. First of all, he believes in the word. And number two, he believes in the unction he carries. Why the 500 were not here, I don't know. But I know the unction is real. I will pray for the next one. That is pertinacity. That is tenaciousness, indefatigability, stick to itiveness, durability. Stick to itiveness. Hey! Hey! Is there any durable person here? Stand on your feet and shout power! Look at your neighbor, say, I'm not fake material. I am authentic material. I am durable material. I have been wired to last. Do you know that, are you aware of that a sticker just came out? Wired! Help me walk to seven people. Tell them you are wired to last. 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 Walk to seven people, tell them you are original material. Don't behave like inferior. Rata sete feke taka saka taka lagada. Hete ke pete lete fete sida. Lite sete fete sita. Lite sike pepe redi alala. Lita sata lete fete sete. Lite ke peparata saka lalala.
Original. Don't be crying before matters. Don't be crying before matters. I know of people who can count the number of times they have cried in life under any issue. Maybe worship. You understand what I'm saying? The durability of the product is a function of the integrity of the manufacturer. So in those days, if they say it's made in Japan, you can trust, count on it. Made in the U.S. also, you can count on it. That is, if this thing will last, find out who manufactured it. But in those days, not today. It was made in Aba or something. And it is a shoe. Avoid water. Avoid water. Avoid water. Avoid water. Avoid water. But Aba is not like that anymore. Today, Aba is complete. Aba is exporting things now. It's taking things from Nigeria outside the country. It used to be made in Taiwan in those days. That is poverty of quality. In those days. If it is Jehovah who made you, you are made and wired to last. Hey! You have been made, you have been wired to stand the test of time. You have been wired to pass through fire and come out without a scratch. Doubt it, ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You have been wired to step into the lion's den and impact lions with compulsory fasting. Somebody say it loud, amen. Don't forget what you just said. Part of it, part of a fighting spirit is deliverance from easy give up ability. Easy what? Abundance of stick to itiveness. Somebody say a loud amen. If you walk out of here today, they ask you anything, you say, I have been wired to last. I can confront and collapse anything. I can do all things. To Christ, the Amplified, I believe, said, I am equal to every urgency. I am equal to every, I am equal to everything. Equal to every devil. Equal to every devilet. Equal to every demon and their demonesses. Whose word is it? Typhoid and malaria. Typhoid and malaria. Every 2 weeks. It's over. Hey! Hey! Somebody say it is over. I can't fast because of ulcer. I can't fast because of diabetes. And your destiny is tied to the fast. It is over. Every time I begin to fast, attack multiply. Today is the end. Am I speaking to anybody at all? If I am not fasting, everything is on my. If I start fasting, the attack begins. Bad dreams, terrible dreams, all manner of terrible things. Today, it is over. You know, the Bible says to the captive, the deliverance is preached. The highest form of deliverance is in the preaching. Not even in the praying or the laying on of hands.
I don't want you to just hear these things. I want you to possess it. I want you to become angry in the spirit. I want you to let the devil know you are not vegetable. You are not tissue paper. You are not nylon. If the only thing I do today is to recruit some military men, I'm a soldier in the spirit. If I was to be flying aircraft, I would be among the type of people jumping from it. I'll be among the people jumping from it. Paratrooper, fighter pilot. Combine the two. Shoot, and then jump down again. Hey! If God is speaking to you, shout the loudest amen. When we went for one of those crusades in the north, one of the young men, that we saw at the airport, he came with a knee like this. I said, "What it is?" He said, "It's a pilot, paratrooper, one of the places where they went for certain invasion. He jumped from the air, and didn't land well. So it affected his knee. You remember the man? Laid hands on that knee on the spot. He bent to say, Just like that. It wasn't a crusade, or just passing the airport. But I liked him because of his trade. Rugged. Am I communicating at all? You make up your mind. Look at Job. Take your seat. Another fighter was the fighter Job. Job had lost everything, but he was ready to start afresh. I don't know who is sitting there. I'm talking to somebody in particular. The devil said you have lost everything, but God is saying you are starting from the scratch and you are going to get more than double of anything you ever lost. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest amen. Job chapter 14 and in verse 14. He said, "If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come." Somebody say, "I am here." In Nigeria language, you say, "I did." I just did. I have full ground. I'm not shifting. I'm not going nowhere. Something must happen. Something must shell it. I did. "I will wait." Job, wait for what? All the children are gone. All your money, property, everything is gone. Even your wife has cursed you and said you should curse God and die. Job said, "I did. I may have made mistake before by allowing fear to bring these attacks, but I've changed my mind. Change must come. Things must change. I will start again." I don't know the age of Job. Maybe he was 60. Maybe he was 60, 70. But he decided to start again. Do you know what happened? Look at Job 42 verse 10. This is speaking to somebody here. Speaking to somebody across the airwaves. "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came down to him all his brethren, all his sisters." When he had problem, the sisters were not there. The brothers were not there. Only his miserable friends came to attack him. You know, in adversity, in prosperity, your friends know you. It is in adversity that you know your friends. Plenty people know you when things are good. It is when things are not that good that you know who is who. I heard from a minister in the Federal Republic. He said, well, a particular minister said to somebody, how that, I think the government changed before the Christmas. Last Christmas, it didn't have enough, no room to keep Christmas cards and gifts. This Christmas, just as the government just changed and he's no longer a minister, he didn't see anybody. No Christmas gift. That is the nature of real life. But look at Job. His sisters, his brothers, and all they that had been acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house, and they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord brought upon him. Every man gave him a piece of money and everyone an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end. That was more like an investment because they knew they may get something out of giving him some gifts. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. Before he had 7,000 sheep, now he has 14,000. Previously it was 3,000 camels, now he has 6,000. He had 500 yoke of oxen, now he has 1,000. He had 500 sheep, it's now exactly double. Now look at this. Keep going. No, you jumped. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He gave birth to 10 children afresh. 10 children afresh. You haven't seen nothing yet. Keep going. He called the name of the first one Jemima. That must be from Kaduna State or something. And the name of the second Keziah, the name of the third Karen Hapuk. And in all the land where no women found so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. So women can have inheritance among sons. Any tradition or culture that says that it's just only the man, all father property, that is a joke. And in all the land, all right, keep going. And after this, Job lived 140 more years. So if it was 60 years before he has become 200, after all this, he lived 140. After everything, he lived 140 more years. Saw his sons, to 4 generations. The age was added to the previous age, and he saw son, grandson, great grandson, great great grandson. After you have lost everything, hey, is there somebody here who told you cannot start again and fulfill destiny and fulfill your life assignment and go beyond your expectation? I am speaking to somebody here. Stand on your feet with a shout of praise. Would you help me talk to seven people, because this is the prophetic word you should receive from here. I don't care where you are. You can see beyond your expectation. So you are going to help me walk to 7 people. Say, it's never too late to start afresh and fulfill destiny. Never too late to start afresh. Never too late to start afresh. Never too late to start afresh. There is nothing the devil can do. Never too late to start afresh and fulfill your destiny. It's never too late to start afresh. It's never too late. It's never too late. Listen to this. Remain stand and listen to this. Is there anything
the devil can do to anybody that is worse than what he did to Job. That can be worse, except to kill the person himself. But even there are some deaths that are better than being alive. What's the use of being alive and everything is lost under your nose? That is the pain of seeing the loss of offspring. No. All. Despite that massive blow, and the devil thought he had done his worst, Job still came up. And it didn't stop anything he could have become in life. It didn't stop anything Job could have achieved in life. It didn't stop anything Job could have achieved. It didn't. Everything returned in excess, including age, excess. How big is the town before mad people are getting inside?
He said, after this, Job lived 140 years.
So how much was the original age? You can say they added 10 years to somebody's life. Or like King Hezekiah, 15 years was added. This one, 140 years added to how he lived before. And he was not a child. He was a mature man with many children. Jehovah overdue. God is about to give somebody double for your trouble and triple for your tribulations. Double for your trouble and triple for your tribulations. All you need is to stand with a fighter spirit. Can I tell you something? God can bring you to a point where you lose memory of what the devil did. Manasseh, that was the name of the first son of Joseph. I have forgotten. Where you lose memory of what the devil did against you by virtue of what God is currently doing. It's word. Where you are trying to think, and the things that have happened with you now or that are happening far overwhelm. Your impact swallowed your setback. It swallowed it completely until there was no memory. Your result devoured your insult. But there is one key. And that key is the maintenance of a fighter spirit. The maintenance of a fighter. I am here. If Job has said, well, everything is gone, what is the use of life? What is the use of life without wife? What is your life without? People knew me as a very big man in this town. And they have seen me now with, like they used to say, cro-cro on the body. Rashes everywhere. What is the use? Just forget about it. He said, no, I'm waiting. Change is coming. It's the devil that will be tired. I refuse to be tired. So something must change. So transformation is coming. My life is changing. Hear me. Somebody, you will remember this conference by the fact that God will give you a change that will shock you and shock your generation. It will shock you and shock your family. It will shock you and shock the enemies. Shout the loudest. Amen. Give the Lord a praise. Take your seat. In a short while, we shall be praying and we shall be receiving the mantle of a fighter. That was Job. And then David was another fighter. Because of time, I might not go too far. 1 Samuel 17:34-37. We saw how David kept his father's sheep. A lion came. A bear came. He went after them. He smote them. He was just permanently fighting until he fought his way to the palace. He fought his way to the throne. He fought his way to the palace.
The gift of David gave him the attention of one man, King Saul. I need somebody who can play the instrument. The gift of David gave him the attention of one man. The fight of David gave him the attention of a nation. Fight. Your fight is more important than your gift. If you are gifted and you are not a fighter, you are limited.
When they say, who is the best instrumentalist? David. That gift made one man to know him king, but he amounted to nothing. But after the fight, he became a song. David has slain 10,000. Saul slayed 1,000. It became a song in Israel. As far as everybody was concerned, this man is our king. We may have a king on the throne, but we have seen our new king. Saul couldn't escape from that. Am I communicating? Don't just be gifted, be a fighter. Jonathan Edwards was the son-in-law of who? Sorry. Yes. David Brainerd was son-in-law of Jonathan Edwards, who is a contemporary of John Wesley in England. George Whitfield. George Whitfield appears to preach. And he says, by introducing his speech, I have what to say. And I must be heard. I must be heard. You see, the devil don't care what you have as long as he stops people from hearing you. That is, I will force my potential on you. You can't behave like I have nothing. Don't ever forget that your fight is more important than your gift. Because the devil will even attack you and your gift. He will try to prevent your gift from being seen. He will try to impact your generation with willful ignorance concerning who you are and what you represent. But you make up your mind that I have what to offer my generation, and it must be pushed out. The gift of David caused one man's attention to be drawn. The fight of David caused a nation's attention to be drawn. Next example, Paul the Apostle. Fighter by excellence. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 22-33. He said, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent. In deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times I receive 40 tribes that is lacking in one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep.
that would have been enough for some people to give up completely. In journeys, often in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in the danger by my own countrymen, in perils in the hand of wicked heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, but the worst one is in peril, in danger among false brethren. I thought they were Christian. I thought we were the same. I thought they were sincere. I thought they could be trusted. Not knowing they are false people, agent of their false devil. Pastors, you have seen false members before, isn't it? And brethren, you have seen false brethren before. There are people who do things against you and you are wondering, what worse way could the devil have done this? They dealt with you more than the devil himself. Keep going. In weariness, in painfulness, in watchings, in all, and all, on and on and on and on. And then in Acts chapter 20 verse 22, all the way to verse 24, it says, but none of beside, and now behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the thing that shall befall me there. Except that the Holy Ghost witnessed it in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions are waiting for me. But none of these things move me. Those who move things are unmoved by things. Movers are not easily moved. Say it again. None of these things move me. Neither do I count my life dear unto me, unto myself, so that I can finish my assignment with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. None of these things move me. When a car breaks down, you can use a bulldozer to push it. Or you can even use people to push the car. When a bulldozer breaks down, how many people will push it? 1,000 people, 100,000 people. It's not movable. Because it moves things. It's not easily moved. The reason why you are easily moved is because the devil doesn't want you to move anything. So at the end of the day, 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 6, Paul the apostle could now say, I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I believe that the host of hell, when they heard, I have fought a good fight, they said, amen. Lucifer and all his people say, we bear you witness. We were the ones suffering. We are the receiving end of your blows. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Now my journey is concluded. Is God speaking to somebody here? That is how to finish well. To finish well, you must fight strong. Fight. Fight strong. Fight strong. Fight long. And it's not the fight that you are losing, it's the fight you are winning. You must fight strong. Fight strong. Fight strong. Proceed with the mentality of the fighter. Possess the mentality of the fighter. Beloved, if I continue, I'll go on and on and on. Liberty University founder by name Jerry Falwell. Pastored 5 people for 5 years. 5 people. 5 years. And every day he was knocking on 100 doors. Nobody heard him. 5. Pastor, you came to church today, yourself, your wife, 2 or 3 children, then 1 stranger. 5 years. And if 2 people join you today, 2 people won't come. To ensure that they remain 5. One pastor in Lagos told me, he said, sir, I need to come for prayers. What is happening? He said, the people who attend their church, as if they mark a roster or a register, and they are in touch with each other, where they say, if you are coming to the house,
are coming today, I will not come. And since, so he said they are exactly the same number. Even if 100 people come new, 100 people won't come. And then it will be exactly the same number. They are running shift. Jerry Falwell, 5 years, knocked on 100 doors. Once 5 years were over, and he refused to give up, boom. Church exploded. 20,000 people at a point. He became the founder of Liberty University, Christian University. Counselor and advisor to American presidents. He struggled to start. Is God speaking to anybody here? I can go on and on. Papoyedepo, pastor. If you count everybody in the world, I've forgotten the number they were for years. 30 something. So, 81, the ministry started. 82, 83, 84. By 84, 85, they were still struggling. In Grass Cathedral, 22 members. The cathedral, they call it the largest grass cathedral in the world. It was used with raw northern grass. He said that they were using benches in those days, and it was a person per bench, so that you can have where to stretch your leg and stretch your hands and put your bag and your Bible. There was no children church. Children were inside the church. You see, all of us were children of God. Lord, what is happening? He took a 3-day fast. And then he went out and saw a covering of darkness covering the church, the ministry. He spoke to that darkness. It rolled off like a blanket. That was the explosion. He organized, was it 7 weeks of daily seminar? Every day. For weeks. Explosion. If you see that church today, you will never know they ever struggled at any point. Church is being planted like water. Beloved brothers and sisters, your perseverance will wear out resistance. I announce to you today, I prophesy to you today, your season of struggle and stagnation is over forever. If you are saying amen, shout it like a believer. I need to round up because of this other sessions. Number one, what do we fight with? Yes, I'm ready to fight. With what? Number one, fight with the word. The word of God, fight with the word. And that word is called the sword of the spirit. Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. Now, the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God, the Hebrew word of God, that word is rema, that is revealed word. This is the meaning of it. Per situation, God will give you a scripture, a rema, a revelation, a word that is tailored to that situation. It's not the gathering of logos and quoting scriptures. That is not what handles matters. You step into the word with the determination to get a light that is specific for this darkness. And you carry that light and throw it at the darkness. The sword of the spirit is a rhema, not just a logos. It's a rhema. It's a revealed word. The kind that God gave John Alexander Dewey in Australia. Acts chapter 10 verse 38. When bubonic plague was killing people. And he had buried 40 something at once. On and on and on. And said, Lord, this is not my calling. I can't continue like this. And he was praying. And then Acts 10 38 just landed and came like light. Jesus is the healer. And Satan is the defiler. He stood up and he said, no more. That was when his healing ministry got bettered out of that adversity. You fight with light. You fight with light. John chapter 5, chapter 1, verse 5. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Am I communicating at all? So, there are situations that you need to go before God to locate light to use. Poverty. Papa went before God to locate the scriptures that could break poverty off his life and step him into prosperity after a 3-day fast. You fight. Number two, you fight with faith. Fight with faith. Ephesians 6:16. He said, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. 1 John chapter 5 verse 4. You are of God and you have overcome them. Okay. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith. What's the meaning of this? Build your faith ahead of confrontations. Build your faith at normal times. Build your faith. And then, when confrontations arise, the same way you go for light, the same light you got is what you use to charge your faith to confront the devil. Papa said that, Papa Yerebo said, faith is takeable. So whenever situations arise, you go and take it. You go and take relevant revelation that will embolden your conviction and empower your declarations to take it. Number three, you fight with testimonies. Testimonies of yours and the testimonies of others. The Bible says we overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So testimonies can deal deadly blows to the enemy. You reel them out. I was keeping my father's flock. The lion came, the bear came, I dealt with them. These uncircumcised Philistines shall be like them. And the devil was hearing. 1 Samuel 17:34-37. The devil was hearing. And the devil knew his time was up. You fight with testimonies, your own and those of others. At the place of prayer, we release word and rhema. One thing that we can do in the face of confrontation, even at the prayer altar in front of the enemy, is to reel out things that God has done. That God himself will confirm I did this. And then the enemy will hear it. And what you are saying to the devil is, devil, where were you when this happened? If you couldn't stop this, I frustrate you now. Number four, you fight with joy and praise. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, in the battle of Jehoshaphat, verse 22, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten when they began to praise. Joshua chapter 6 and in verse 20, the shout of praise collapsed the wall of Jericho. Acts chapter 16, verse 25-26. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. You see, joy and praise fuel your prayer and give it potency. It gives potency to your actions. I recently released an acoustic album.
Someone said he listened to it. He said by the time he was gone, like 15 minutes listening, what he encountered pushed him into 5 hours non-stop praying. 5 hours. And I don't think the person talking was a pastor. 5 hours non-stop. There is a potency. Now look at Isaiah chapter 55 verse 12. I saw this scripture maybe 30 years ago. The power of joy and praise. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with praise. What's the outcome? The mountains and the hills shall scatter before you into singing. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Joy is a dynamite to detonate and blast satanic obstacles. Praise. That is why the devil wants to keep you depressed and keep you offended. I mentioned that yesterday. Because your joy, your praise is a weapon of war. It's a fighting tool. It could be more potent than a general purpose machine gun in the physical. You fight with joy, you fight with praise. Is there somebody who is going to give God a loud shout of praise? Let it go. One, two, go. Make it louder. Make it louder. Make it louder. Take your seat. Number 5. Fight with the name of Jesus. Mark 16:17. This sign shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. Because of the savour of thy good ointment, thy name is as an ointment poured forth. Songs of Solomon chapter 1 verse 3. There is an anointing on the name. There is an anointing on the name that dissolves and dismantles the forces of hell. Philippians chapter 2 verse 9 to 10. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. For our robber said, if you lay hands on people in the name of Jesus, when faith is at the peak in his heart, in Jesus' name. Papa said he went for crusade. Papa, God's our bishop, David Oyedepo. Went in the Lorraine in those days. They were in a hotel. Some armed robbers came to look for them in that hotel. With guns, they knocked. All the other people, everybody is trying to find where to go. He opened the door and put his hands on his waist. And according to him, you know how tall he is. That's according to him. Standing in front of this people. He said, where is the money or where is this and that? He said, in the name of Jesus. That's all. Then they began to scamper. He has a gun. He has a gun. Because every time the name is invoked in faith, the oil is provoked. They serve for thy name is as an ointment poured. The calling of the name is the pouring of the oil. It's as an ointment poured forth. When it is called, when it is invoked in faith on situations, on conditions. Many times we'll be flying in the air. The pilot says, seat belt is turned on. Turbulence, expect very serious turbulence or something. My wife, will hold her hand and say, turbulence canceled in Jesus' name. It won't happen. So one of the days,
We flew, and when we landed, we touched with zero turbulence. So the pilot, but why did you say there will be turbulence now? He said, maybe because you prayed. Because it was there. The radar showed it. They were meant to enter into it. Because of the savor of thy God. You fight with the name. Was that number one? Number six, fight with the blood. The blood of Jesus. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you in this matter, on this issue. The blood. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. And he overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. Exodus 12, 13a. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Fight with the blood. God has shown different people revelations in the course of this conference. But as we are, this altar is now loaded with spiritual equipment and weapons, mega swords, dangerous anti-aircraft rifles, anti-witchcraft rifles. Plenty. You will go with your own. Satan, the blood of Jesus. I obtain victory by the blood. The blood is very, very critical. Whenever you are dealing with witchcraft related matters and things where sacrifices are done, because the blood is a superior sacrifice to every sacrifice from the pit of hell. It's a superior sacrifice. The Bible says the blood of Jesus speaketh better things than any sacrificial blood. That should be Hebrews 12, I think verse 24. It speaketh better things. The blood and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling, that speaketh better things. Whereas their blood is trying to speak destruction, the blood of Jesus is speaking preservation. Invoke and release the speaking of the blood. Against every blood, speaking death around you and your family. You fight. Number seven, you fight in the place of prayer and fasting. First Chronicles chapter 4 verse 10. Jabez did not like his situation. So he called on the name of God in a fight for his destiny. And God changed his story. Genesis chapter 32, verse 24 to 28. And Jacob was left alone. He wrestled. His destiny changed. It was a fight. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6, and then verse 8. Sorry, 58:6. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. The fast I have chosen will loose bands and break yokes. Somebody, yoke is about to be broken off your life in the place of prayer and fasting. Number eight, you fight with higher mantles. In the front of Jordan, in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 14. Elisha took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither. He took the mantle. So you take the mantle of your prophet to tackle the battles of your destiny. There are battles that require a higher mantle to tackle. Paul the Apostle made reference to where the people can be the partaker of his grace. In Philippians chapter 1 and in verse 8, he says, since you are with me in the defense and confirmation of the gospel,
You have become partakers. Can you locate that verse 6 or 7? 7. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. Inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. The grace that is upon your father, your pastor, your mentor, you can partake of it. That is the River Jordan that could not stop Elijah. It's not permitted to stop Elisha. Most of our pastors flow easily under this kind of oppression. I make demands on the apostolic and prophetic mantle covering the Dunamis Commission, or my Father in the Lord, and I decree now, like fire. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? As a person, I am under a spiritual cover, and I make demands on the cover that I am under to tackle this fight now. People, young lady sent us a testimony. Her brother just died. Suddenly, she slept and she could not wake up. She couldn't wake up. She knew she couldn't wake up. All of a sudden, she saw herself standing and her body is on the bed. She said, no, I can't die. I can't die like this. I make demands on the mantle of my father. You are always there to help. And then you see, all of a sudden, he saw that I appeared in that scenario. He said, death, you can't have her. Not now. Back to her body. And she came up and sent the message. Pastor, not now, not you. Remember your testimony from Boko? I appeared right in your office. Yes. Do you remember the statement? There was a coffin that I used as a sword that was already on the ground open. Not this one, not again. A coffin was already on the ground in his office. He was already gone. Then he saw me with red suit, right? Red eyes. Appeared in that office. That's the mantle of the commission. Because I am not aware that I did such a journey.
And it was shattered immediately. It was then I regained consciousness. It was on service day.
On service day. Sunday service.
So I was wondering. Who told you?
Yes. So he began to wonder, who told me that? But that he should be in church. He should be in service now.
That was when you.
How did he know that I have a challenge and he came here?
You were asking me why was I crying. So I said I was surprised. Who told? I wasn't feeling pain. That was just imagine. Who told you?
Who told you? How did you come? Somebody said the mantle.
The mantle.
It will work for you. Your pains will never be different. The pains of your family members will never be different. Listen. And sharing these kind of testimonies reproduces them. He also silences the devil. He suffocates the devil. We overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. I announce to you today, anytime you ever find yourself in situations such as that, you will not go before your time. The mantle at work in this commission will rescue you and bring you back to life. And you shall fulfill your day. Last week, Tuesday, young man who has been, please take your seat, falling sick and unconscious, right? Fainting spell, so they brought him here. He would just blank out for 3 hours. No life, nothing. And then they brought him here. The healing and deliverance service, he came out for altar call and slumped later on. And then they went back to his seat. When they went out there, he slumped and was gone. As once they went there, all the people there, he was gone. When they called you, what did they tell you? Yes, Dr. Mr. Lechi has
it. Mommy asked me to go pray for him, and then the idea was just to pray for him and maybe we'll take him to the medical center and let them examine him and know what next.
What did they tell you before he went?
That he had died.
Yes, so they had told him that he had passed. Because all the people, the father also confirmed that there was no breath and something. You were here then. Oh, you watched it. You were there. And you were there too. Alright. So by the time he went, he checked and realized that there was a faint pulse, which means some life had come back. So by the time the young man came back, you know, you are not only connected to a mantle. The mantle that mantle is connected to is a lineage mantle. So don't be surprised if at times you see God's servant Papa Yedeko step into some realms that the geo step in. So once he was in that state, he said he saw Ababa Geo. God's servant Pastor Adeboye. He said, go back. Come back. He said, no. That is, whatever devil wanted him dead, he insisted on going. Then a younger man told of the same line. that is hot headed. That's the man there. At this time he was limp.
Hey, that devil returned back to hell forever. Live to fill your days. And then I asked that you pray for him. What is the story? For the past 1 month, he would just collapse, go unconscious, no breath, no movement, for as long as 3 hours at a stretch. Every day, several times a day, until you prayed for him and he jacked back up. There's nothing that would have brought him up. They take him out to hospitals, all manner of hospitals. They told them to take him to the medical stand. They said, medical stand? They have been going to hospitals, nothing has happened. So, this is a miracle.
What is his name?
What's his name?
Wisdom. Good.
Your son.
It's your son. All right, Wisdom. Stand up. Stand. Good.
Jesus.
Wisdom. Stand number.
Hey.
Wisdom. I want you to go to that altar and shame the devil.
Hey.
Walk number.
Hallelujah.
Miracles be done. Walking frames, wheelchairs. The man himself at the point stood up and started dancing. Daddy Gio said, turn back. You know, grandfathers and great-grandfathers are gentle on children. The man said, no, I'm going. And they said, I appeared. Turn back! Force him back. You are not needed where you are going. We'll live in eternity forever. Where do you go at a young age? Turn back! You will not go in young age. When necessary, make demands on the cover, the mantle that covers you. When necessary. It is a spiritual protocol. It is not an attempt to make anybody look big or anything. It is even wisdom. It's wisdom. It's wisdom to know that, you know what, I need to draw, I need to make demands. Even in the military, they make reinforcement. When they are running slow on firepower, they send for reinforcement from the air, from the land, from everywhere. They send. Officer from Plateau State sometimes called me frantically. Say, we are overwhelmed with terrorists. We have run out of firepower. And these people are
shooting continuously, and they are advancing on them. Pray for us. Prayed in agreement. That is another way of making demands on me. That's why I attacked him. And then I made a decree in the name of Jesus, he won't be overrun. In the name of Jesus, receive help. Less than 10 minutes later, or 15, he called me. He said, reinforcement has come. But they have a lot of armor personnel carriers that just came. And so on and so forth. That was how those devils were fenced off, dispelled, repelled, and some destroyed. That is wisdom. It is wisdom. And I pray for you today. What is working for us will work for you. It was around the year of 2001 when Papa Yedepo came to our church. That's 23 years ago. Anybody remember that old sanctuary that has a dwarf roof and a basement? That's right. He brought Miles Monroe. Yeah. So they came together. And by the time they were through, I saw them off to the airport. And I gave Miles Monroe a little offering. It was big then, not little. Anything like 100,000 then or so will be like 10 million today. I put it in his hand. He looked at me. And he looked at Papa Yedepo. He said, "This, your people are so well taught. You taught them very well." And he uttered one word. "What works for us will work for you." Us, that's us. Me and my friend. What works for us will work for you. So recently, somebody came to me and he said, "Anywhere you go, I see presidents coming out of mayors and all of that." He said, "The last time I saw such a thing was with Miles Monroe." So he was the one who was talking to presidents and ministering to them and relating with them. The last time I saw, that is, they come for the meetings. One sat throughout the conference. Another sat in the conference, vice president. Mayors of cities, big cities. What works for us, may it work for you. So I stand here to announce today, they were distributing the Handbill of Canada program. They gave it to somebody, and he was the mayor of the town, right? Yes, the guy came in and said, "Mayor." He said, "Dr. Pastor Paul Emenche is coming." They say, "You know him?" He said, "I know him very well." And began to make commitment immediately. "I don't know that I know anybody there. I've never been to Canada before. This will be my first time. I've been everywhere, but for one reason or the other, I haven't gone to Canada." You understand what I'm saying? I announce to you today, in the name that is above every name, what works for us will begin to work for you. The devil that could not give us a deadline and succeed with it will not determine how long you live or when you exit from this world. Take your seat. In all the fight, in all your, in everything, there should be something that should be a constant. It is called persistence. I will wait until my change comes. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to give away. I will wait. Somebody say a loud amen. Finally, what is the benefit of a fighting spirit from God? What benefit do you get from a fighting spirit? Number one, is help from above. When you decide to be a fighter, you attract the help of God. Psalm 89 verse 19. Then thou speakest in vision to thy Holy One and sayest, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. That word mighty is the same word gibor. And that is the word warrior. I have given help to the warrior. If you decide to be a warrior, you can't lack help from above. He will help you win the war. So one of the ways two cannot work together is to be agreed. If he is the mighty man of war, and you become the child of the man of war, you attract his help. Somebody say aloud, amen. Help from above. Number two is strength to turn the battle to the gate. Strength to turn battles to the enemy's gates. Strength. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 5 to 6. Isaiah 28, 5 to 6. He said, in that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty to the residue of his people, and for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. Strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. If you are interested in turning battles to the gate, you receive strength from above. There are times we have spoken ruggedly and aggressively, and people are afraid for us, and we have zero fear for ourselves. Why? Because we are connected to a help and a strength that people don't know. Finally, finishing strong with eternal rewards. Finishing strong and well with eternal rewards. I am ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 to 8. Henceforth is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. He helps you to finish well, to finish strong. Then in eternity, you don't lose your rewards. It's a new day for somebody. It's a new day for you. The devil will never see your tears anymore. He will never catch your sweat anymore. You are saying amen. Stand with the loudest shout of amen. See, this message was the preparation for yesterday evening. This plus yesterday was the outline for yesterday. So if I had rushed to finish it yesterday, would have done injustice to it. There is no way we could have, crammed all of it into one night. Hallelujah. This may be one of those conferences that the message syllabus may be continued later, because we are lagging behind by one message now. Praise the Lord. But how many of you, something happened to your heart? Papa Yedeko said, he listened to a message one day until his vegetable heart was turned into a lion's heart. It was an A.A. Allen's message. His vegetable heart turned into the heart of a lion. And he was ready to dare anything and dare any devil. That is what I am hoping has happened to somebody. I'd like you to take 2 minutes, appreciate God. We shall take 7 minutes in the kind of praise that will collapse mountains. The kind of joy that will destroy mountains. Lift up your hands now and just go ahead. Appreciate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Open your mouth and pray. Precious name, the Lord heard and the Lord answered us. In Jesus' name. This dance you are going to dance and celebrate is a release of strength to collapse the mountains. This is also advanced victory dance. The victories you are expecting, you are dancing the dance in advance. Because some of us on your return back, the mess up that the devil created around your life had already been cleared. This is also the kind of dance that the Bible said the Lord set ambushment. It's a battle dance. While they danced and sang, the Lord set ambushment in the camp of the Ammonites. And suddenly there was an earthquake while Paul and Silas sang and danced. And the battle turned around. There is a turnaround of situation that is happening right now. Go ahead and shake the hands of 7 people. Now, I'd like you to feel free. Make it a militant dance. An aggressive dance. Somebody may think you are too aggressive, but that is their concern. Huh? What brought you is different from what brought them? If it is in the hospital, we will say what is worrying the other person is different from your own. You understand what I'm saying? What brought them is different from what brought you. So you don't look at anybody's face when it comes to your destiny. Am I communicating at all? Let Jehovah step into battle on your behalf. And in the course of this dance, if you are devilish enough to pick anybody's phone or anybody's material, the affliction you will inherit will remain with you for life. It will remain with you for life. There are things that God cannot reverse. When Elimas the sorcerer was made blind by Paul, did he see after that? Did you read in the Bible that his eyes opened later? If stealing is your ministry, just find where to go and do the stealing. Right? Having said that, still be watchful over your things. Because Judas Iscariot is not just in church, but he was a disciple. Praise the Lord. Shake 3 hands and tell them, I want to celebrate. I want to celebrate. I want to celebrate. Let's celebrate. Let's rejoice. 7 ministers. Go, go, go.
Somebody give Jesus a shout. La, 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 la. Hey! Aha! La, 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 la,
thank you. How can I ever repay you? Jesus, you've taken my shame away. And you've given me victory.
Next 2 minutes is just blasting tongues. Just blasting tongues and shifting to the victory mode. Are you ready? Say, Father, I step into the victory mode. At the frequency
of fire.
The frequency
of the spirit.
Of the spirit.
Someone that believes that God has heard this prayer, shout aloud, Amen.